Craig Brown is about 10 minutes away. The big news in the NFL today, there's two big stories. The first one is what happened in Baltimore at their training camp practice. Isaiah Likely, the tight end, was carted off at the end of practice. Lower leg injury. John Harbaugh, said it was ankle, and the early prognosis is that it's a multi-week injury. So, not a season ender. You know, someone's going to have one of these teams in the AFC. Somebody's going to have a big training camp or preseason injury that affects the outlook of their season. It happens every year.
Cowboys look like they narrowly avoided one, not in the AFC with Guyton.
Steelers had one in the preseason with Pouncey, Don. Remember that?
Yep.
When he got hurt against Green Bay.
The Browns are not a threat, but didn't Newsom go down today?
To a big injury.
Carted off in a lot of pain.
Was it a precautionary cart?
This said he looked like he knew he was in significant pain and knew it was bad.
Okay.
But again, they're projected to win five games. Oh, no. We learned last week, all cart rides are created equal. Kabali tried to educate people on the carts.
Yes, there's a lot of cart context going around.
Now we have the try box up here, and there's just an empty seat.
Well, does Donnie want to come back in here, or does he want to continue
Now we're back to the double box.
All right, that's up on our YouTube page where people can watch our show.
And people do, and man, do they send in comments. Yes. Greg Newsom. Martin Emerson, my apologies. Thank you, Peter Venkman, in YouTube comments.
I happen to agree with my friend Nick Wright on the Ravens. He calls it Ravens propaganda, and he's right. Every year, the same thing happens with them. They lose into the playoffs. Lamar Jackson has his worst game of the season or thereabouts in January. The day after the game, the football cognoscenti says, man, Lamar Jackson can't win these games. It happens all the time. I don't think he's ever going to win one of these things. And then the offseason happens. That game kind of recedes from people's minds. We get to training camp. And people act like there's not a history of them losing big games, playing badly in big games, and start picking them to win the Super Bowl again. And his other point is something that you and others used to say about the Steelers all the time. Like, yes, they were stuck playing in the Patriots era, in the Tom Brady era, but they weren't blocked by Tom Brady because they only lost... In the Ben era, they lost to Brady, in 04 and in 16, twice. Now, in 01 they did, but that predates Ben. But that's...
They didn't get there most of the time.
Right.
They didn't get to... So, is this how you would differentiate Lamar from Josh Allen?
Yes, Buffalo keeps getting smacking beat by the Chiefs. Yes. Baltimore loses games to Tennessee at home with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback.
Well, that was a while ago. They've moved on from that one to losing to the Bills.
Right, or the Bengals. So, I'm not going to pick them to miss the playoffs.
I think you converted Nick on this, by the way. I think this power of your rhetoric turned Nick to
But hold on, it's not rhetoric. It's facts.
I never said it wasn't factual.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, no, I think what happens with Jackson is people continue to not parrot the idea, but people continue to buy into the idea that a guy who causes that many problems for the most part in the regular season and looks that dynamic is eventually going to break through. And that's why they have short-term amnesia with how it actually goes down in the playoffs. And like here, you know what this year's narrative is going to be? And I don't even entirely disagree with it. Mark Andrews dropped a pass that he should catch 100 times out of 100.
He did that a couple times in that Bills game. I was there for that.
Like, Lamar played, I thought, a better game than he got credit for because his tight end dropped the ball, literally. But it's still...
He still threw a horrendous interception.
It's still ultimately a loss, but I think people would have looked at that and said if the player who he's throwing the ball to on the game's pivotal play does his job, he's right in the end zone. And so... I'm by way of, and I know how you feel about Jackson, by way of explaining how it's going to go down this year, that's how it's going to go down.
They are on FanDuel right now the favorites to win the Super Bowl at plus 650. The odds makers give them a better shot than Buffalo, Philly, and Kansas City.
See, I disagree with
that. That absolutely is propaganda.
I disagree with them being better than Philly for sure, and I disagree with them, when push comes to shove, being better than the other two AFC teams.
Because when they play those two teams in games that matter, they lose.
I think the most damning loss of the post... So the when there's Lamar pre-MVP, where they go play the Chargers in the playoffs his first year, and yep. he looks completely lost. And then there's everything since. I actually think the most damning loss for them is getting beat by the Chiefs at home in the AFC title game.
More than the Tennessee loss?
Yes, because...
I disagree that with was that, supposed but I'll be listen
the,
to your
that
point.
That was supposed to be like the fully formed Ravens battle station. You are getting Mahomes, who's never had to leave Arrowhead in the playoffs, on your turf.
That's true.
You are getting Mahomes at a reduced offensive capacity because their biggest weapon like was Kelce, who wasn't quite the same guy. There's no Tyreek Hill. He's thrown to Justin Watson. We love you, Justin. South Fayette, stand up and everything else. I'm from Montour, but whatever. You know what I mean. It was not like the Death Star Chiefs. You had them at home, and you couldn't still do more than score 10 points. Is there a mitigating circumstance of a horrible fumble by Zay Flowers in that game? Sure. But you're Baltimore. Aren't you supposed to put 30 on everybody no matter what?
That's why I think Tennessee's even worse. Lamar was the best player in the NFL that year, and they were the best team. And the last team that made the playoffs went in there, and Baltimore got killed in that game.
This is going to sound like one of those Malzi takes that you don't believe because you'll say you're just fabricating this after the fact. I swear I'm not. I didn't think Baltimore was all that year. I thought he had a great year. I didn't believe in it yet. The Chiefs year, when they lost to them, I actually thought they could maybe get it done because I had seen them go in there and play them in the regular season and look like a team that could handle itself.
Donnie, are you buying that this is finally the year for the Ravens? The odds makers have them with the best odds to win the Super Bowl right now on July 29th.
I am not. I unfortunately think for them that they will be hitting their heads off the brick wall, not in the same way that the Steelers do, because they always get a little bit further, but kind of the same way when it comes to making it to the big game.
Their biggest offseason moves, talking about the Ravens, were DeAndre Hopkins last seen looking in the Super Bowl like he was ready to file his retirement papers. And Jair Alexander, who I do think is a very talented corner, but is the Bo Bennett of NFL corners.
Jeez.
He's always hurt, man. Never plays.
Oh, in Alexander's defense, he was at least a pretty good player at one time.
Right, but now he's Mr. Glass. The dude is the most fragile. Like, wrap him in that tape. That's how oft injured he is. So
I think it's pretty fair, and I don't think it's like anti-Jackson sentiment anymore to say like he's an incredibly gifted player. I think he deserves all the flowers he gets for his regular season performances. The burden of proof is pretty squarely on him to deliver the goods in the playoffs. I don't think that's being unfair. His record in the playoffs is 3-5. His passer rating, even though it is trending in the right direction lately, for sure, like no argument from me on this one, is still 84.6 in 8 games.
That's terrible.
He's got 3 of the last 4 over 110. That's real good. But the single biggest one, a home AFC title game, is when he reverted back inexplicably to...
What'd you say his career passer rating is in the playoffs?
84.6.
What do you think Kenny Pickett's career passer rating is?
82.
It's actually worse than that.
80.
It's 79.3. What do you think Mason Rudolph's is?
Career passer rating? Probably like 81.
Is 84.7.
You've finally been validated. Congratulations on all your success. We finally got it. He finally got him, folks. I just think the burden of proof should be on them. Like, I don't... It's so weird.
It's nice
for me
to have you come along. Well, come around on this.
It's so weird for me. Well, no, because I do think you're on an extreme side where I still think you look for any chance you get to denigrate Jackson's accomplishments overall and not just the playoffs. I'm pretty specific here. The guy is a phenomenal player to watch. He needs to show that he can be
except
that phenomenal
in the
playoffs. But I think you even feel like he is just broadly speaking nowhere near as good
as people
give him
credit
for.
He's the only multi-time MVP who's never appeared in a championship game in the history of football. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Greg Brown joins us right now. He's up in San Francisco. Hello, Greg.
Hey, guys.
Uh-oh.
How's it going?
We might have a hold on, Greg. Let's put you on hold and see.
We might have to do a redial here. We're crackling. We're in the Rice Krispie thing here. Snap, crackle, and pop signal.
It's windy there, so maybe he's outside.
Have you ever been?
Yes, I have.
Is it true that they say? Is it well? That's more the Bay Area broadly.
Well, but
you got a whole bay across from you. You know, Oakland versus San Fran.
So if you went to a Mets game. Or a Jets or Giants game, you couldn't claim that you went to New York City?
Well, if you went to a Jets or Giants game and you never went into the city, you'd
be in
New Jersey.
Okay, how about a Mets game?
You're in a different borough. You're not across a large body of water from
sure.
the other place.
There's a bridge that separates San Francisco from Oakland. It's basically the same thing. It's the same place. If you go to a game in Oakland, you might stay in San Francisco.
So why didn't they merge the Athletics and Giants and just make them one team? It's so similar.
What are you talking... Oh. Why didn't they just have the A's play at the why not just have them play at the Giants Park?
Why don't they share a park? Probably because the people in San Francisco didn't want that.
All right, Greg Brown is back. Hello, Greg.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that.
All good.
I don't think it was your fault.
Yep.
You have come on with us for probably a month and said, I anticipate the Pirates are going to do something big. We're now 2 days away from the trade deadline. Does Greg Brown still feel that way?
Yeah, I still think, and I thought I quantified it by saying that I believe Ben wants to do something big, and he's trying to do something big, and I think he still will do something big. So, yeah, I haven't changed my opinion because I don't think Ben Cherington has changed his opinion. Now, you know, these trade deadlines every year, I've thought about this, everybody speculates, all kinds of stuff goes on for right up until deadline day.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody, including Ben Cherington himself, if you had him on the air right now and you said, are you going to do something big? He couldn't guarantee you that he's going to. Nobody knows that because everything has to work. He's got to agree to whatever the other general manager agrees to or what they offer. And so not even the general managers themselves can say for certain that they're going to pull off trade A, B, or C. But I still think that they're working hard to get something, at least one or two big deals done. So, yeah, but my stance has not changed.
Greg, David Bednar acted like a guy who felt like he had pitched his last game after his most recent outing. He got 100 saves with the Pirates. I think only four or five other pitchers have accomplished that with the team. Do you think that Bednar is correct to assume that he's pitched his last game? Or very soon pitched his last home game, for the Pirates.
Well, I don't know whether he's correct in assuming he has. I think it's correct to assume that it's possible. But going back to the idea that nobody knows, unless everything is aligned, and unless you know if they are offering something for him, whatever other team offers this in return, then it will happen. It's very possible that after the deadline Thursday, he is still a Pirate. To your point, long after the grounds crew had completed its work, I was doing some notes and getting ready for the next day's game, and most of the stadium lights had gone off, and just a few of the banks remained, a few lights on those banks remained. And I looked down and I saw a guy come out of the dugout all by himself, and he took out his phone and he did a kind of a panorama of the skyline with his phone. And he walked slowly up the warning track past the first base dugout, taking it all in, kept looking out at the skyline, glancing. He got up to the right field corner where the garage is, and he turned and to head out, and he turned back toward the field and took one last long glance. And it was David. And it really hit me then how meaningful that save was. And I assume, maybe he was taking it all in because that was 100 saves, but I assume that he was taking that all in because he thought it could be his last game. He's always talked about how he leaves the ballpark every night as he's been a Pirate and thought about and not taking for granted his time in a Pirates uniform and how meaningful it's been to be a Pirate. So I sure hope it doesn't happen, I'll tell you that. I would hate to see him leave Pittsburgh, and he's been so good and such a good trooper, but, you know, that old cliche, it is a business, and if it happens, it happens. But I guess we'll cross that bridge if it does.
Greg, what is one thing you feel fairly confident in saying the Pirates won't do in the next 2 days that some fans, or maybe there's been some media speculation, that they might actually do at the trade deadline?
I'm sorry, Andrew. What I'm confident that they might do?
No, that they won't do. A deal that's been, that fans and media might think.
I don't know. I know there was speculation. There was talk about 2 months ago about trading schemes. I'm not going to trade schemes, right. And I said that then.
Yep.
I'll say it again. So I'm quite confident that's not going to happen.
Yep.
From there, I don't know that I'm confident about anything else, but I'm pretty confident I'm very confident that's not going to happen.
So you can't. So you wouldn't even say that about Cruz then, huh, Greg?
I'm confident they're not going to trade him. I would say that other than schemes, though, there's not a deal in my estimation. There's not any possible deal that anybody could come up with where they would. That I could see that they would trade schemes. Now, I think that almost any other player on the roster, they could blow Charrington away with, I think.
Gotcha.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I think if they came to Charrington with all these players for any player, Cruz, whoever it might be, then I think Charrington would listen, but not schemes.
Brownie, do you think it is more likely that the Pirates would be inclined to deal Mitch Keller now or in the offseason? Because I keep reading about people thinking that if they want a big league ready bat in return, that their better play would be to actually wait until the season is over when those baseball trades can actually happen. How do you view the possibilities with what is probably the best starting pitcher who's going to be dangled on the market?
You know, we all hear scuttlebutt around from other teams. So the reason, in terms of Keller, you know, I think it's just as feasible. It's as feasible that he would be traded if he were to be traded in the next 2 days than it would be in the off season. I don't separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that, and maybe that's the case, but I just don't believe it. I think teams can get desperate. I think the fan base makes teams get desperate. We know for a fact that's happened with the Pirates, where there's pressure on these general managers, and these teams that feel that they have to win or else they're done, they're out, they're failures, and they need a starter. Starter goes down, an injury, and that if Keller or anybody is the perfect guy to fill that void, then I think they can overpay now. Just going back to Andrew's point, the reason I said that, I don't want to be misconstrued.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard other teams suggest from other sources that they have or are going to make a play for other players other than schemes. Schemes, his name, I've not heard at all, but I've heard other teams say, "Yeah, we would trade for this guy."
Yeah,
and I'm not saying the Pirates would do it, but other Pirate names have come up. They know Schemes is not a possibility, and I think they believe these teams think that. Well, we know Schemes is not a possibility, but maybe this guy could be had for the right price.
Greg, everybody who knows anything about the Pirates this season would say they need to get some bats. Here in the next couple of days, guys that can bring offense to this offensively desperate team. But if you could hone in on that more, like where specifically do you think Ben Charrington would want to make his lineup, his overall team better in the next 2 days?
I mean, it starts with the bats. Left field. I mean, you need a left fielder.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious. They need a left fielder. Shortstop. Who was going to play shortstop? And then we're talking now about 2026, of course. But in order to build for 2026, because 2025, for all intents and purposes, is all about building a winner in 2026, you need those players. That's the other reason I don't personally care for doing something in the offseason. If it happens, it happens. Okay, I get it. It still might. But I like the idea of starting this Friday in Denver. I would like to see the team, for the most part, that we know is going to go into 2026 that's going to win.
Does that include Bubba Chandler pitching in their rotation?
Well, without being too forward, I don't see how, and I don't know if it's Bubba Chandler, but and no disrespect to Andrew Heaney, but it would not make one bit of sense to me if Andrew Heaney, again, I'm not disrespecting him. I think he's such a pro. I told him that the other day, but what a pro he's been. It wouldn't make any sense for me for Heaney to make another start. That would make no sense.
Yeah. Because he doesn't have a long-term outlook with the team at all.
That doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense because it's about building for 2026. And so if Heaney makes another start, that means he's making a start in place of a fill in the blank. And that's not building for 2026.
No. All right, Greg. Well, hey, we'll be obviously keeping track of it and watching it play out over the next 2 days. And the Pirates play tonight.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, it's too bad we're off. Well, in a way, it's good that we're off on Thursday because we'll be able to monitor it all. But I think it's going to be busy. I think it's going to be a busy, fun time for us baseball fans.
If you had to add up the total trades, including minor league trades, do you think the Pirates will make more or less than 5 trades total?
Wow. 5's a lot. 5
Damn
is
it.
A lot. I don't know. If I go more than 5,
somebody
no,
might have already wagered on this. Oh, thanks, Greg. Appreciate you. There.
That's a lot. Are you including Frazier?
No.
From this point onward till 6 o'clock on Thursday.
I'm including your rinky-dink, like Billy Cook, Nick York trades that got made
Jack
last
Sawinski
year.
For a player to be named later,
yeah,
and then he goes
like
to
that.
The Rays and hits 35 home runs.
Stuff like that, Greg.
I still think 5's a lot.
Okay.
That's what we wanted to hear, Greg. Well, by we, I mean me and Donnie.
See you, Greg. Thank you.
See you, guys. See ya.
There you go.